This morning we're going to be continuing on in our message series about faith, family, and freedom. The triple F, the three F's of this life. Now, we just celebrated Independence Day, July 4th, where we remembered the birth of our nation, the birth of our incredible nation that we are so blessed to be a part of. I am so unbelievably thankful that God chose for my life to be born in this country. I mean, like, talk about winning the lottery. I mean, it's amazing what we have the opportunity to be a part of. It all started back, of course, you know, July 4th, 1776, when we declared our independence from the tyranny of Great Britain. And in that letter that declared our independence, they listed the whole slew of reasons why they were breaking free from that nation and choosing to create a new form of governance. Because they felt, our founding fathers, that the role of government was to be, first of all, by the consent of those being governed, and that it was the government's responsibility to ensure the God-given right, our God-given right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And that's why they founded this great nation. And I'm thankful that a couple hundred years later, it's still, in effect, giving us those freedoms. Freedom, or in some translations of the Bible, liberty, both meaning essentially the same thing. It's always been a part of God's heart for mankind, that his creation would be free, that they would live in liberty from any form of bondage. That is the heart of God from the very, very beginning. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, we remember this that we've been singing all morning long, that it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Our freedom is one of the reasons that Jesus chose to come down from heaven, be wrapped in the flesh, and to live out his life and to give it away. And so we're told in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, to stand firm and to not let yourself be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Once you've been set free, why would you ever want to be a slave again? Yet we see that happen so often in our lives. I know it's happened in my own life. I broke free from something, the next thing you know, you're bound back up in it again, and it's just so easy to happen because we have this flesh that's so easily tempted, so easily goes back to, how does the proverb say it, how quickly a dog returns to its vomit, you know? I mean, we've got cute little dogs, but they are just nasty. I'm sorry. They're gross, you know? Yeah, why do we do those things? Why is that part of our sinful human nature to go back to things that bound us? You know, why? Now, freedom. Freedom is defined as the ability to act, to speak, and to think as one desires to. It's the absence of restraint, the absence of coercion from another. It's the right and the ability, essentially, to do whatever you want to do. It is. That's what freedom is. However, we can't, kind of negate this other side of it, because that's awesome. That's freedom. However, freedom is not ever in any way the ability to act, speak, and think without consequence. Okay, freedom, you're free to do whatever you do, but you are never free from the consequence of that choice. Never. There's a consequence for every decision that you make. Now, it may be a consequence of a reward and blessing, and it could be, we always think about consequence in a bad light. That's really not necessarily true. Consequence is just, it's the result of a choice, result of an action. You're free to do whatever you want, but you're never free from the consequence. It's just the way that God wired up his creation. This is the very nature of God's creation, action and reaction, cause and effect, right? You may have heard of this concept called karma, coming from like Hinduism, Buddhism. You know, I don't believe in karma by any means whatsoever. I don't believe I'm controlled by the universe, nor the stars, nor the planets, nor any of that kind of weird, flaky stuff. But the reason that so many people believe in this is because the Bible teaches that you reap what you sow. And that's all that karma is. It's just a mislabeled reality that God created. It's a biblical truth. What comes around goes around. The way you treat people is eventually the way you get treated. That kind of idea that things, that what you put into cause, you will receive the effect from it. The Bible calls it you reap what you sow. It's that principle. Because it's a biblical principle, you can call it whatever you want to call it, it's going to be true. It's going to happen. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, Paul writes, he says, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows." If you think you can act and it's not going to catch up with you, you are mocking God, and he cannot be mocked. If you think you're going to get away with it, you're deceived. A man reaps what he sows. When you plant corn, guess what grows? Corn. Not watermelons, not tomatoes, not onions. What you, it means like literally, physically, it's a reality. What you plant is what you sow. You reap what you sow in the natural world, and we also reap what we sow in the spiritual world. The natural world is just a reflection of the spiritual world, a reality. Actions result in consequences always. It's just the truth. It may not happen immediately. When God told Adam and Eve that if you eat from that fruit, you'll surely die, they didn't kick the bucket right away, did they? But they did die. They did physically die. And that's where we get this kind of mixed up view of things. Because God is patient. He's patient, wanting all of us to what? To repent. He wants you to make a bad choice and to repent of it. Meaning that guy would take a step forward. He would take a step of repentance, and then he wouldn't get smashed, right? But because we do something and we feel like we got away from it for a little while, we think we're good. We're surprised when finally that last domino comes and crushes us, right? I love that picture. God's patience, the reason that there's usually a delay in consequence, is because he's given you a chance to repent, a chance to turn, a chance to ask forgiveness, so that you don't have to feel that pain. Right? Isn't that good? God is so good. His grace, his mercy, it's amazing. Amazing grace. But by God's own design, we get to choose. Some choices result in blessing and peace. Some choices lead to destruction and chaos. And we get to choose. God created us with absolute freedom. You have the freedom to choose. And by choosing, you're choosing your consequences, right? I cannot continue to cut myself and then curse God for not healing me, right? Jesus, you said you're my healer, right? I love that. You know, people like me, we make these bad choices in life. And then I'm like, God, why am I not skinny? I dieted for a week straight after eating wrong for 35 years. Why am I not skinny? Come on. Why is my cholesterol not down? I'm doing everything right. Isn't that the way we are? We want immediate results. You know, you can't do that. It's foolishness to think that, you know, God heal me, and yet I'm going to continue to mistreat my body and fill it with a bunch of junk, you know? It's foolishness to think that way. We need to give God the opportunity to bring healing. I can't continue to mistreat everyone around me and expect them just to be pleasant and generous toward me, right? You just can't do that. I can't choose not to show up for work or to just work half-heartedly and expect my employer to just bless me with a promotion or a raise, right? Nor can I really expect my employer to prosper. If its employees don't do their jobs, then an employer is not going to really be around for very long, right? I can't choose to keep spending more and more money on foolish things and just expect every one of my needs to be met. But God, you're my provider! And God's like, I did provide, you just didn't use it right, you know? We can't expect to do these things. I can't expect to drive my car without ever changing the oil or ever changing my tires and just expect it to be reliable, you know? We just can't do that. I mean, think about this in a more personal sense. We can't keep driving past that local store, right, without ever stopping there and just expecting it to be there when you need it. Like, what do you mean you're not open on Saturday at 5 o'clock? Why? We can't afford to be open, you know, Saturday that long. Right? And, of course, you know that even churches are dying left and right everywhere. We can't expect a church to be around and to be able to provide for the needs of the community when people don't show up and they don't do their part. It's not going to be around forever. It just can't survive. So my freedom that I've been given by God, it still comes with consequences. Using my freedom to sow generously into my marriage, into my children, into my employer, into my community, into my church, whatever the case might be, whenever I pour generously into those things, it's showing my faith and my trust in God. I sow believing that he's the provider. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 through 8 says, remember this. And Paul's talking about this church that's in need, and so he's taking up collections from all the other churches. And the funny thing is the smallest, poorest church was the most generous. Isn't that just, seems to be the case in like people's families and whatnot as well. So Paul's writing to the church in Corinth, and he said, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously, right? I'm not going to get my international harvester out for those two rows of corn that I planted in my backyard, am I? Nor am I going to expect to receive that kind of harvest when all I planted were two rows of corn. If you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. This is the case with freedom in the choices that we make. You get to choose your reward. You get to choose it, depending on what you sow into and how you sow into it. I can't sow anger into my children and then expect them not to snap at me in anger and rage whenever they're upset, right? I can't expect that. What you sow is what you reap. It's just a spiritual reality. And as I mentioned this morning, in verse 7, Paul wrote and he said, each of you should give whatever you have decided in your heart to give. And this is not just about finances. This is about your life and how you are investing it and where are you pouring yourself into. Each one of you should decide, should give what you've decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, because God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. How good is God? Even when the economy collapses, it doesn't have to touch you. Right? Because God's economy stands well beyond and outside of all of those bounds. So even when you're weak, you're strong. I love it when people serve when they are like, why? You have every excuse not to be doing this, and yet you're there. Love it. Why? Because it just shows faith and trust in God and who He is. Freedom is a gift of God because it enables Him to richly bless us. Freedom is a gift. Without choice, there can be no reward. Without choice, there can be no love. They require a choice. And so God has given us this ability to choose. And of course, we know that from the very beginning, Adam and Eve, they used their freedom and then they gave it up, choosing to be slaves to their own flesh because it looked appealing and thought, man, it's desirable for learning too, right? Even though God said we shouldn't do it, they wondered if perhaps God was withholding something good. He said what it was going to do for them. You'll live forever. You'll get knowledge, being just like me. So they wondered if God was withholding something good and desirable from them. And of course, they quickly learned that God was not really withholding any good thing from them. And their choices came with consequences that were far from desirable. It wasn't a desirable thing that they received. We know that Jesus paid a high, high price, giving up everything, giving up even his own life to purchase our freedom, to buy us back from the slavery we were born into. Because we were all born into sin. From that time that Adam and Eve made their choice to sacrifice their freedom to become slaves to sin, we were all born into it. So Jesus paid a price. He put a number on your head, and he sacrificed it so that you can be free. So that you don't have to be a slave anymore. And just there's a powerful concept in the Old Testament, the kinsman redeemer who would come and redeem somebody from slavery. Just powerful. Powerful what Jesus did for us. And it is for freedom that Christ set us free. All for our benefit, not for his. Beyond purchasing our freedom, he ensured it and sealed it in our lives by pouring out the Holy Spirit. He didn't just set you free, he sealed you with the Holy Spirit so that you might never be a slave again. And we've been singing about it all morning long. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Right? Freedom! The Holy Spirit filling our lives grants us freedom. As we read about this last week in John chapter 8, Jesus replied, very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever, right? We're no longer slaves. We're children of God. Children of God. belonging to that household forever and ever and ever. And so Jesus said in verse 36, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Freedom. Freedom. We have indeed been set free from sin. You didn't get to choose beforehand. Your flesh did whatever your flesh felt like doing. But now you've been set free. And the Vine's expository dictionary of New Testament words, it defines this freedom. The Greek word, and I can't roll my tongue so I won't pronounce it right, but eleutheria. This Greek word for freedom that it says that we were set free for, it's defined in this way. It's a combined word of both a noun and a verb. It's an object, and it is also an action. It is and it does simultaneously. It's awesome. It's kind of like fire and how it burns. It is and it does. It is fire and it does burn. But it would be like as if though fire was both the word for fire and burn. We don't really have it too much in the English language. I can't think of a single word of something that is and does simultaneously. But anyways, in the Greek word language, they have it. And this combination word, it stresses, first of all, the completeness of the act. And secondly, it points this tense that indicates that it is both momentary and comprehensive in its character. So it is and it always will, which is the character of Jesus, right? He always was, always is, and always will be. It's that same kind of concept in the Greek language. Freedom is something you are granted, and unlike any freedom that a government or a bailout or anything else could do for you, we're talking about all this, like, you know, college debt that's going to be forgiven, right? You know? Anyways, I don't want to preach about that. I have strong opinions about these kind of things. But it's that idea. It's not just a momentary thing where you're bailed out from it and you're set free from it, but it's also forever going forward. It's eternal. It's you are set free and you will forever be free if you so choose to be, right? Like Willy Wonka, if you truly wish to be. Sorry. It was done once and for all. That's how we can summarize that. Jesus set you free once and for all. This freedom that Jesus gives us, it's not just freedom from sin the moment that we are saved. It doesn't just set you free from those chains the moment you're saved, but it enables us to overcome it and to remain free from that moment forward. From that moment forward, you hold the key in your hand. You always have a way out. You get to choose whether you're going to sin and be a slave to it or whether you're going to walk in freedom from it. You get to choose. Your freedom has forever been given to you as a gift. You get to choose now. I remember I watched as a kid the Andy Griffith Show, and what's his name, Otis, the town drunk, how he'd walk into the jail and pull it shut and put the key back up, you know. If you're going to choose to sin, that's exactly what you are. You're the town Otis. You're choosing it, and you're choosing your jail cell, and you're like, okay, well, I deserve this, now I'm going to get out again. And but it's a choice. That's what Jesus has done for you. He's given you an eternal choice. You get to choose whether to be free or whether to sin. Now, twice, Paul described this right and the freedom that we have. See, Christianity is not, I know I kind of prefaced the message with this. We have been set free from the law. Jesus fulfilled it. You have complete freedom. Complete freedom. This is not a religion where you have to do this, 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 and that to be accepted by God. You are completely set free. You can do whatever you want to do. That's Christianity. The message of the gospel is that you are free. But Paul reminded us, though you are free to do everything and anything, not everything's beneficial. Because you're still not free from the consequences. You can do whatever you want, you will be forgiven, but there's still consequences. God loves you that much to help you to walk in freedom. You see, Jesus sets you free and free forever. He wants you to make the choice to stay free. He wants you to make that choice. This freedom that Jesus gave us, right, it's the freedom to do that, right, to run through. You see this field. It's got all kinds of barbed wire all through it. You kind of picture like a, I don't know, World War II kind of scene. And there's foxholes and there's landmines and, you know, there's all kinds of traps and snares. There's this field just covered in them. You have the freedom just to run across that thing. Just to do it. Just to run through it. And, of course, you know what's going to happen if you do that, right? You got people shooting at you. You got all kinds of, you're going to get hurt, aren't you? You may not even survive it. You may not make it to the other side. If you had to do such a thing, however, and you were given a map that shows you exactly where every sniper is located, exactly where every landmine is, exactly where every trap and snare is, and it showed you a clear path to safety. If you had to get across that field, I don't know about you, but I know myself, I'd study that map. I would memorize that map. I would even probably sneak out and scope out that field so that I knew exactly where that path was and what it looked like. So that when I stepped foot in that field, I got my way to safety and I'm good and I'm clean and I'm not going to get hurt and I'm not going to get wounded. You know, I'm going to get out of there with both my legs, right? That's what I would do. That's just me, though. The reality is that that's sort of like life, and God has given us exactly that. His word is that path to freedom. So many people look at Christianity and look at the Bible and look at the rules and the laws of, like, thou shalt not lie. Hello, it's for your own good and your own freedom. It's not slavery that you always tell the truth. It's freedom that you always tell the truth, right? But people from the outside looking in, they're like, that looks like bondage. Don't do this, don't do this, don't touch, don't, you know. It's a path to freedom. It sets you free from all the consequences of sin. God wants you to stay free. And I found this map on the internet, how true it is or not, but all the different mines and UXOs in Afghanistan back in 2008, like, I would not want to be over there as a troop. And it is unbelievable how many different landmines there are over there. And my brother-in-law, he's an officer in the Navy, and that was his job for a while. He got to go out and find them and disarm them. I was helping him study for his test and how to disarm different types of triggers of those. It's insane. Man, you pray for those people that are out there. Unbelievable. But God's word, that's what it is. It's a light to your path so that you can walk in freedom. God doesn't want you to suffer the consequences of sin. Sin is not fun. It is for a moment. Come on. It is. It's fun for a moment, but man, the consequences that come for a lifetime following, they're no fun at all. No fun whatsoever. God wants you to enjoy the life that he gave you. He wants to keep you free from hurt and guilt and shame. He wants you to make it from the time you enter this life to the end of it, all in one piece. Now, I only got 9 toes, so I'm already one down, but you know, I plan on making it through the rest of the way, right, all in one piece. But think about it. In the same way, that's why we read the Word of God. That's why we memorize it and study it. So that when I'm faced with a choice, I don't walk into that landmine without knowing it. At least I know it's a landmine. At least I recognize the scheme of the enemies, right? You know, that way you can walk around that thing and find freedom. That's what God's Word is all about. We're free, and we have the right to do absolutely anything we see fit, but not everything is beneficial. Jesus will forgive us. He'll set us free anytime we're hurt or ensnared by the enemy. Even in the Old Testament, when the nation would cry out to him, he would save them. He'd bring them back together. He would heal them. He would restore them. He'll do those things for you. But why? Why sin and then ask forgiveness when you could just avoid it altogether and avoid all the hurt and the pain? Why not walk in freedom and avoid the enemy's schemes altogether? And it's not about following a religious code or earning the favor of God or anything like that. It's just about living life to its fullest. It's about living an abundant life that is blessed and not cursed. Freedom is about you being you, the unique individual that God created you to be. Freedom is not about choosing a life to embrace sin. Because that's just no freedom at all. That's putting the chains right back on and enslaving yourself. Following the Word of God and the leading of the Holy Spirit is just trusting Him. It's trusting that He loves you, that He wants you to live a full, abundant life. And it's showing love back to Him, that you do trust Him. You know, when I tell my son to keep your fingers away from that, you know, or like on the lawnmower, turn off the mower before you put that blade back on the deck, right? Okay? Because these things are precious, and they could get pinched off in a hurry, you know? Speaking from life experience, you know? Yeah. That thing's still spinning, so let's not do that. That's what God's Word is. It's a guide to life so that you can avoid those things, so that you can stay free and not a slave. But there's this freedom available to us, a freedom that nothing can take away, a freedom that we take for granted so often, but it is a freedom that far exceeds anything that any government or any person could ever grant you or offer you. It's a freedom that nothing can ever steal away. It is a freedom that can exist even in the most severe forms of bondage and persecution that nothing can snuff out. It's a freedom that no one and nothing can deny. It's a freedom that can carry, that can cry out in peace and gratitude even when you're in chains or behind bars. Or I was going to share a video, but I chose not to do it this morning. There's this woman, her name is Helene Berhane, and you can look up her, you can YouTube her video. You know, she gives her testimony many different times. You know, she was a Christian, and I can't remember the name of the nation. It's one I've never even heard of. I never even thought it was a nation before hearing her testimony. But you're not allowed to share your faith in that nation. And so she was put in this shipping container day and night out in the desert. Like, they'd come in and beat her all the time and just horrific things because she was a follower of Jesus. They tried so hard to shut her up, but she just kept singing and worshiping, and she just kept quoting up. And they asked her, "Where are you getting this from?" She's like, "It's from in my head." Because they searched her. There was no Bible there or anything. There's no words, no lyrics. And so they started beating her head, you know, and trying to get her to stop. But, you know, even in those circumstances that she testified, they couldn't stop it. They couldn't take that freedom that she had from Jesus away from her, and it drove them crazy. Now, finally, she found freedom and escaped to Denmark and, you know, found safety there. But just think about that. That freedom that we have that nobody can ever touch. No one can steal it away. There's a freedom in here that the Spirit gives that there can be no law ever drafted against. That no matter what your circumstances are, you have this freedom. And it's for that kind of freedom that Christ came and set us free. So he says to stand firm and not let yourselves be burdened by a yoke of slavery ever again. When we run to Jesus and he sets us free, we're only ever slaves to something we choose to be slaves to. It's a choice. And now I talked about some of the downsides. It may seem foolish to ever choose to be a slave again, but we're going to close with the reality that Paul embraced. Though he was set free, he chose to be a slave. And it just blows your mind that you would ever choose to do that again. But all of a sudden, when you have tasted and seen the freedom that Jesus gives, all of a sudden your eyes are opened to the unbelievable bondage that everybody else is trapped up in. Things that you didn't even see before, but now your eyes have been opened and you realize how bound they are, and it breaks your heart and you just want to see them set free. You want to see them be free. You want them to experience the same freedom that you have. And when you have that burden, you're willing to give up anything to make that happen. Jesus said it in this way. So he's back in his hometown, back in his home church. New Hope's my home church. I was saved back up in the old church back when I was 13, and God brought me back around. So he goes back to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up, verse 16. And on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. It's Saturday. Where are you going to find a Jewish man? In church, right? Same way as it is Sundays for us. It's just what you do. It's what he did. It was his custom. So he went to his hometown. He went to his hometown church, and he stood up to read. You know, and similar how we stand up and we, you know, you can share whatever God's laid on your heart. But when you stood up in their church, they'd bring you the big old box of scrolls, you know, because they didn't have the Bible the way that we have it in printed form today. And so Jesus goes through and he chooses the scroll of Isaiah. And he unrolled it and he found where it is written in verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, the recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back, and sat down. the eyes of everyone were fastened on him. And in verse 21, it says, he began by saying to them, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Now, we know they got mad at him and tried to kill him as a result, but I believe that that prophetic word of Isaiah was not just for Jesus when he walked the face of this earth. I am a firm believer that that prophecy applies to you and I today as well. That you can stand up and you can proclaim that same thing. That the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. That's every one of us personally. He has anointed me to proclaim good news, to release the captives, to set the prisoners free from their oppression, to heal the blind, to bind up the brokenhearted, to do all these things. Because I believe that after Jesus rose again, defeating both sin and death, that the infilling of the Holy Spirit came with that same anointing that came on Jesus. So that you can read that about yourself. That today is a day of salvation, and now is always the season of God's favor. That's why after being set free, those in the early church wrote things like this. They wrote, live as free people, but don't use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's slaves, choosing to be a slave to Jesus, doing his will, because there's fullness of life and abundance. And Paul, that was Peter, Paul, he wrote, and he says, though I'm free and I belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. He was determined that he would lead thousands and thousands to salvation through the good news of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. And he wrote again that you, my brothers and sisters, you were called to be free. But don't use your freedom to indulge in the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. See, because you can use your freedom however you want. You're free. You can use it to continue doing whatever your flesh wants to do, to just indulge yourself. Or you can choose to use your freedom the way that Jesus used his freedom, to deny the flesh and to serve people around you and to lead them to their freedom and to their salvation. That is why Jesus has set you free. So I encourage you this morning to just let the freedom of God flow through your veins. Don't let yourself be snared by any kind of religious teaching that you have to do this, this, and that to be found acceptable by God. He'll accept you exactly as you are. He will set you free from your sin. He will forgive it all. And then he hands you the keys that you can walk in freedom. But I want to encourage you to walk in that freedom. Don't choose to be bound again, because you're making the choice if you do. And if you do, choose to walk right back out of that thing. You're free. Don't be a slave to anything. Don't allow anyone or anything steal that freedom away from you. If you're going to be a slave, do it by choice. I'm going to choose to be a slave to this person so they might be saved. I'm going to serve them and I'm going to love on them, and they're going to see who Jesus is through my life. That's the only reason Paul ever chose to be a slave to somebody. Live life to its full. Stay on that path that leads you away from all those landmines and pitfalls of life that hurt so badly. Allow the Holy Spirit to fill you with what are the fruits of sowing into the Spirit instead of sowing into our flesh? Using your freedom to serve God instead of using your freedom to serve the flesh? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. If you sow into the Spirit, those are the things you're going to reap. Those are the things the world longs to receive. Joy and peace. Nothing can stop those things. So read, study, and memorize God's word. Why? Because it's your life map to avoid those things. Not because you have to do it out of religious duty. Not because God thinks more highly of you because you do those things. Do it because you want to be free. Do it because you want to maintain your freedom. You don't want to be, what's the old cliche saying, that you got out of the, you're out of the pot and into the fire, you know? Don't be that kind of Christian that just goes from one form of slavery to the other. Read and study and memorize God's word. It'll keep you walking in freedom. And while you're on your journey in life, use your freedom to set other people free. Share the good news about the salvation you've received, about the things that you've experienced, and invite them to join you on that journey. Invite them to enjoy the same freedom that you've been so blessed to receive. Because whoever the Son sets free, they're free indeed, right? You're free! You've been set free! So live like it, right? Yeah! So this week, be more mindful and intentional about the freedom that you do have. Sometimes we don't realize how free we are. And be intentional about inviting someone else to receive that freedom. Next week, we have Christine Dillon coming. Bring lots of people in to hear her testimony about what God's been doing through her life. It's going to spur you on. I know it's going to spur me on to do this more and more. Reaching people for Christ. Why? Because you love them, you care about them, and you just want to see them set free from the bondage that they're trapped in. And so let's just pray together. So Jesus, we thank you for setting us free. And Jesus, right now, I believe that there are people that have been convicted by things that they chose to be bound by again. But we thank you, Jesus, that in you, there's no shame, there's no condemnation. That voice is the voice of the accuser. So this morning, Jesus, we just turn to you again. We ask you to forgive us for choosing slavery over freedom. And we're asking you to show us that path to victory once again, that we can walk in your freedom. Give us a hunger for your word. Light that path for us so that we don't fall into these landmines and pits anymore. We're tired of eking our way, scraping our way out of pits, Lord. We're tired of our drunken stupor, Lord, and we want to be free. So Jesus, show us those things that cause us to get there so we can avoid them. We want to be free. We want to walk in freedom. And finally, Jesus, well, we're walking that out, even if we're not doing it perfectly, we're asking you, Jesus, to give us a heart like you had for people around you. Break our heart for those people that are still ensnared by the enemy. Help us to set them free. Give us the boldness and confidence to share the good news about you with them. That you accept them just as they are. That you will save them, set them free. And that you will help them, Lord, to live a life of abundance and freedom far greater than they could ever live otherwise. Thank you for not giving up on me, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for the freedom that your presence gives in your name. Amen.